We're in Luke,
Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Now, the beginning of chapter 11, we read this. It came to pass that as he was praying, he's talking about Jesus Christ, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. They're watching Jesus pray, and one of the disciples says to him when he was done, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. John taught his disciples to pray. You teach us to pray. Now notice, or take note, if you haven't noticed, that Jesus has been teaching them to pray, and us, the whole time he's been down here. His whole ministry, the whole way through, if you watch Jesus, he's been teaching us to pray. But they say, teach us to pray. So think about prayer. First of all, what you know about Jesus. Jesus prayed continuously. If you'll look through the Gospels, watch him in every day along his way, you will see that the Son of Man, the Son of God, prayed continuously. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Easy verse to memorize. It says this, pray without ceasing. And our example was Jesus Christ himself. We should be men and women, young people, old people alike, who are praying continuously. Pray without ceasing. Are you doing that? Probably not. You know, the thing about a prayer warrior that I have noticed, and according to Scripture, a real true prayer warrior, hard to say, doesn't know they are. Did you know that? They don't know that they are. Ones that will tell you they're prayer warriors, they're a mess. But a real, honest-to-goodness prayer warrior, they don't realize that's what they are. You see, because it's so natural to them to be praying all the time about everything. Jesus did. He's teaching me how to do it. We see Jesus pray over all the major events that are recorded in the Gospels. When you watch Jesus, you see him pray over all those major events. He just does. We even see him sometimes praying all night. He actually would just be so fervent in prayer that he'd be praying and pretty soon it was morning. He'd skip a meal or two sometimes. He'd be praying and we call that fasting. You can call it what you like, but he would skip a meal or two sometimes and he'd be praying throughout the night. Most of the prayers of Jesus, most of them were when he was off all alone, just he and his Father. The disciples would see him sometimes off in the distance, not know what he was praying, or they'd see him coming back from praying all night. He was off. Most of his prayer time was spent off all alone with just he and his Father. He's teaching me and you, you and I, us we, he's teaching us to pray. Jesus even prayed while he was on the cross, suffering. He prayed. He prayed for his enemies. He prayed for himself while he was there on the cross. So even during his own suffering, times of his own suffering, you see Jesus praying. There you go. Those are lessons in prayer. We learn how to pray by simply watching Jesus walk through his everyday life while he's here on this earth in the flesh walking. But the disciples say, one of the disciples says, Lord, teach us to pray. Lessons on prayer. You know, we have scriptures that also help us to remember to pray and what to pray about and how to do it. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And Paul says, you know, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Many times we don't know what we should pray for. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you know there are times, and I'm sure that if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for a little while, I'm sure there are times when you've done this. You really felt you needed to pray, and you either sat down or knelt down or got into whatever position you pray in, and you just didn't know what to say. You really didn't honestly know. You sat there silently. Things were so bad or so confusing or so painful or so something that you just sat there or knelt there or laid there and you just couldn't pray. You didn't know how do you start? What do I say? It's at that point when the Holy Spirit Himself was making intercession for you and there was no noise involved. Some people teach that this verse means that when you don't know what to pray, that you pray in tongues. That's not what this says at all. Just the opposite it says. It says, as a matter of fact, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot even be uttered or spoken. No noise is involved in this. You are literally sitting there thinking, I don't know. A silly example was me coming into church this morning early. It was snowing. And I thought, I don't know what to pray anymore. And the roads are slick. Maybe if we get a little more snow on them, maybe they'll be fine. Now that was a stupid example, but there are some real good examples. When your heart is breaking, or you're afraid, or you're very ill, and you honestly don't know what to do about the situation, and you'll get down to pray, and nothing comes out. You're just going, no noise. The Spirit prays for you. 1 Timothy 2:8. Paul says, I will therefore that every person, every Christian, every man, pray everywhere. He's talking about Christians. That men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. This is what we want, that the Christian, man or woman, pray everywhere. Wherever those people are, that they pray, lifting up holy hands. Now, I've heard it said that, when people raise their hands, that's just too charismatic, or that's just too Pentecostal, or it's just too whatever it's too. No, that's got nothing to do with charismatic or Pentecostal or Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or First Church, Apostle, Wonders and Signs following. No, it's got nothing to do with that. What it is it's a worldwide, you see it in the news all the time. All the time in the news. Pay attention to the news next time. There's soldiers there, or there are police, or something's going on, and they draw guns on each other, and they'll pull a gun on a suspect, and what does that suspect do? Why? Because it is the universal symbol for what? Palm Sunday. No. No. No, it's the universal symbol for what? I surrender. Absolute, total surrender. It's not Pentecostal or charismatic or denominational. It is simply, he says, I want all men everywhere. Pray, lifting up holy hands. In other words, in complete surrender to the Lord. So we're learning how to pray, right? Without wrath and without doubting. No anger involved and no doubting. Believing. Now let's be honest. When was the last time you prayed actually believing that somebody was even listening? Interesting question, isn't it? When you pray really believing, I'm not talking about name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, make it take it. I don't think that that's scriptural. But how about simply believing that God is hearing this prayer? Lifting up holy hands without wrath and not doubting at all. Then James chapter 5 tells us this in verses 13 and 14. It says, is any among you afflicted? Is there anyone out there afflicted? Let him pray. First thing you ought to do is pray. Is any among you really happy, merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Notice that the initial steps to these prayers are the individual. Did that make sense? Is any among you afflicted? Something really going on? Pray. The initial steps are yours. Any of you really, really happy, things going great? Is it ba-dee-doo-da? Then sing. Sing psalms. Is there any among you sick? Notice that the initiation for the prayer shouldn't be the church elders, but it should be you. Again, notice. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders. A lot of times people will be upset and they'll say, we wanted you to come by and pray for us. Why didn't you?
You get a call.
I don't have UPS. I can't read your mind. Or whatever those letters are. I see guys, the so-called elders, they're in the ministry, and so they carry oil around with them wherever they go. And they say, oh, you're sick, and they're right there in Walmart, and they pull that oil out and they anoint you. You know, that's not scriptural. The Bible says, is any among you sick? Let them call for the elders, and then the elders will come, and that's what they will do, pray for you and anoint you with oil. It needs to be initiated by me, it needs to be initiated by you, by the one that is sick. Why? It's a simple step of faith is what it is. It's doing it God's way. It's stepping out in prayer God's way. James chapter 5 says this. Here's another way. Confess your faults one to another. Not your sins. Oh, Lord, would the bulletin be full next week if we confessed our sins to one another? Your faults, not your sins. You're going to confess your sins to no man because there's no man that can help with it. You're going to confess your sins to the Father. But confessing your faults one to another, what's the difference? Well, a fault is something that's a problem, but it's not a sin. For instance, you can say, would you please pray for me? I can't seem to hold this temper in. Now, having the temper is not a sin. What you do with it becomes a sin or not a sin, right? So you're saying, pray for me, man. I got a lousy, stinking attitude this week. Pray for me. That's a fault. It's not a sin, but it may cause you to sin. That's where you're headed, right? So you confess your faults one to another. And then what? And pray one for another. Teach us to pray, all right? Confess your faults to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It makes a difference if somebody sincerely praying for you and with you. The statement that the disciple makes is this: Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus has been teaching us all along. And there's much throughout Scripture you can see on simple prayer and how to do it. Well, now Jesus is going to give us a model. And he said unto them, verse 2 of chapter 11, when you pray, say this. Now, in the language of the text, he is not saying repeat this. He is saying pray along these lines. Here is a model for you to pray. Or, here's something you can build around. Now, I could say, some people call this the Lord's Prayer. The reason why you can't call it the Lord's Prayer is because in it he says, forgive us our sins. Jesus can't pray that. He has never sinned. This is the disciples' prayer. He's giving us a model. This is not for him to pray. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. But I'm telling you right now, people have asked me, is it all right to pray what we call the Our Father? Is it bad to do it or is it okay to do it? It's fine to do it. If you are praying these words, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, if you're doing that and it's coming from your heart, then you're doing a great thing, but it's got to come from your heart. You see, here's how I learned it. Pater noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificator nomen tuum. See, I learned it in Latin first. I just said, Our Father who art in New Haven, how do you know my name? No, it's close. I don't speak Latin, okay? No, I said it right in Latin. That's how I learned it first. And I'm telling you, I could rip off the whole thing for you right now in Latin, and I'm sure you'd be so amazed and impressed. But it didn't come from my heart, because sometimes I'm not even sure what those words mean. They weren't coming from my heart. At that point, that's just rote memory, and it's not getting me anywhere. Repeating things that I heard don't get me anywhere. I remember a lady, she heard it at church, and so she always prayed it. She said, and Lord, please take care of the sick and the afflicted. And in almost every prayer you'd hear her say, sick and the afflicted. And one day she said to me, she goes, what's the difference between sick and afflicted? I've never known since I was about 9 years old. And she said, I just say it because I heard others say it. It wasn't coming from her heart. It was something that sounded good in a prayer that she heard. So can you say this so-called Our Father and have it come from your heart? Sure. Of course you can. But that's not the reason he gives it to you this way. He gives it to us as a model. We can build on this. Here's, teach us to pray. All right, here's the way. Here's how you go about it. Here is a type, a model. And he says, when you pray, say, Our Father. Okay, right away. True followers of Jesus Christ, only true Christians, true believers, you, if you're a true believer, you can call God Almighty in heaven, you can call Him Father. The verse is Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. If you're a Christian, you have literally been adopted into the family, and you can now, yes, through Jesus Christ, enter into the throne room of grace and say, My Father, our Father. That's who He is. But then He goes on and says, Our Father which art in heaven. Now, I like that because to some people, heaven is just a good feeling. To some people, it's a really good or a positive thought. Some lady was joking to me. She said, to me, heaven would be a huge shopping mall. Just one giant. I thought, oh, Lord. And they would probably sell accordions in that mall, too, wouldn't they, lady? All right. Whew. And what some guy says, to me, heaven is going to be all golf course. No putting greens, but all golf course. Well, you know, that's a nice thought. And for the New Ager or for the Far Eastern religionists, of course, they are headed for nirvana, which is what? Perfect nothing. There's something to shoot for. Just keep coming back. Reincarnation, you come back. This time you're a paperclip. Next time you're a kumquat. Lord only knows what's going to happen. And finally you'll come back as a cow possibly or something. Or a cow something. But I don't know. You're just going to keep coming back until you get it right. And then once you've worked off all that bad karma and you've gotten it right, you become part of the oversoul. You become part of perfect nothing. Nirvana. And they say that's what heaven is. But Jesus just said, Our Father, which art in heaven. Heaven is a real place. There is a real place. It does exist. And it is called heaven. It is where God's throne room is located. And He is sitting on the throne. There is a heaven and it's real. And our Father is in heaven right now. And that's where, if you're a Christian, that's where you're headed. To be with the Son and the Father. Forever and ever. So He says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, the word literally means a most holy thing. Your name, even your name is a most holy thing. That's how holy God is. He is on the throne in a place that is real, that is called heaven. He is our Father because we've been adopted in. And He is holy. Even His name is holy. Now He's going to give you five simple requests. List out for us five requests. And the first one is, Thy kingdom come. We want Your kingdom. We want You to come down and rule and reign here and everywhere. Not just in heaven, but all over. You to rule and reign. John the Baptist came preaching what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus took up the message as John got locked away. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He sent out the 12. What was their message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is right here. And He sent out the 70. And what was their message? The same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. So what do we want? Your kingdom. You to rule and reign and to set up all the standards, all the laws. You to have it Your way. Not only Thy kingdom come, but then the second request goes with it. Thy will be done. We want God's will. Not only just God's will, but we want it done on the earth just exactly as it's done in heaven. Now, how is God's will done in heaven? You read it in Ezekiel, you read it in Daniel, you read it in the book of Revelation. How is God's will done in heaven? God speaks and everyone listens. Notice that? I mean, when God speaks, the place shuts down and everyone listens. When God, he doesn't even have to speak. You watch in the Bible, God looks to the left and everybody heads to the left in heaven. God just looks, and that's the way it is going to be. God jumps, and everybody in heaven is yelling, how high, as they're flying up. He says, you jump, go. Now, what we're saying is we want your kingdom here, and we want your will done here exactly as it's done in heaven. We want that. We want it your way, whatever you say. If you look to the right, we want to all go to the right. We don't care what's to the right. So it's a big wall you got to climb, or so it's sticker bushes. Who cares? If he wants us to go to the right, we go, man, and we don't care about what it costs. That's what God wants. Do it. That's the way it works in heaven. And we ask you, Lord, your will be done here on earth the same way it's done there. And then give us day by day our daily bread. That would be sustenance we need for today. We don't think that way. We just don't think that way. Our society doesn't think that way. Some parts of society still do in foreign lands. But for the most part, we don't think that way anymore. Give us this decade, our decade's worth is kind of where we're at. 10 or 20 years, can you kind of cover? We're thinking now, you know, we are in our 20s, and we're thinking about when we're going to be in our 70s. I mean, that's us. When we should be a little bit more simple. And we should be not overlooking the basic necessities of today and asking for them and thanking God for them. You know, when we pray, sometimes our staff meeting, I'll pray, Lord, we ask you this week for the materials that we need to do the Sunday school for Sunday, for that day. And what do you need in Sunday school? Just glue and glitter. You can tell I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I mean, you go back there and all the glue and glitter is on the floor and it's the prettiest carpeting in the building, but you know, that's what you need, man. And so we say, Lord, what we need to do the Sunday school for the children today, we ask you for that. We ask you for that. We trust you. Daily sustenance. Counting on him for everything. Now, we get serious with him when we think there's going to be no power tomorrow. If someone puts a little threat in for us, rate increases or no dial tone, then we get a little more serious about today. But look how quickly we forget about today and we're concerned about out there somewhere. And it never comes, but it's out there somewhere. And Jesus says, give us day by day our daily bread. In the Gospel of Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to his disciples, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. You see, your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. He made you. He knows you need them. He's going to provide them. Chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. All what things? The things your Father knows that you need. So Jesus simply says, here's a model for today. Ask the Lord for the sustenance you need through this day. And then he says in the fourth request, forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Forgive us our sins. See, we need to confess, Jesus is showing us, daily. Here's the model prayer, daily. We need to confess our sins to the Lord, daily. Now, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much? All unrighteousness. Now, what's the difference between confession and anything else? Confession is simply this. Confession means to agree with the Lord that it's wrong, that it's sin. Excuse me. So when you go before the Lord, you say, I confess to you, Lord, that what I said was a sin. What I said was inappropriate, and I confess it to you. Now, if you go any further than that, you're not confessing anymore. If you say, Lord, I confess to you that what I said was wrong, but every time that guy says something, it just drives me crazy and I can't control myself. It's the man you gave me. Well, Lord, the reason that I'm shooting people at the office is because they are so weird. I can't help it sometimes. I just crack up. You're not confessing now. You're justifying and you're trying to explain. If you catch yourself trying to explain what you're doing, why you're doing it, or trying to justify it, you're not confessing. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we're just explaining them away, nothing's happening. We need to confess. So He says, forgive us our sins. So on a daily basis here in this model, we're going to confess to the Lord. David says, Psalm 51, after that sin with Bathsheba, and he didn't confess it at first. He got caught. And you know how when we get caught, we confess. Well, I'm that way, aren't you? I mean, once you're caught, what are you going to say? Nah, dummy me. And what is, with a real heart, he says, I have sinned against you and you alone. No excuses, no explanations. I have sinned. There's a confession. He says, my sin is always before my face. I can't get it out of my mind. It's just staring me in the face all the time. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. See, you're seeing a confession. No excuses, no definitions. Just simply, I have sinned, Father God. There's a confession. So Jesus is looking for us to confess and says, forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Now, there you go. We need to confess daily, and we need to look to Him for forgiveness, of course, and we need to forgive other people. We need to forgive them, no matter how big, how mean, how ugly, how long, how anything. We gotta forgive them. Now, I've been told by some that people can't do that. Really? With God's help, I think we can. We're commanded to forgive others. You say, I'm not gonna. Fine. It's your funeral. You're only handicapping and tying you. You're not tying anybody else. You got to forgive from your heart. Jesus says in Matthew 6:14 and 15, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, there you go. Do you believe it or do you don't? I need to forgive you. And it doesn't matter what you've done to me. And it doesn't matter what you're doing to me. It doesn't matter what you say. I need to do that because God has forgiven me. And then, you know, we come to the end of the year and I always look back across the year and I think, man, so many terrible things have been said about me just this last year. I didn't say they weren't true. I just said so many terrible things have been said. Now, the people that are saying them, shame on them. They should have never said that. They should have come right to my face. I'm going to tell you how to solve problems. You say, hey, I hear so-and-so's stealing. Shut up, which is a bad way of saying hush. Go straight to them and confront them to their face. I think you'll find 99% of all that'll disappear if you go and straight to someone's face. See what I mean? We just don't want to do that. And so we don't want to forgive people. You got to forgive them. He says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. We need to forgive them. I know it's not going to feel like you want it to feel. It may not even create what you want it to create, but it needs to be done. And I don't think for one moment that you'll forget what they have done to you or what they said about you or how they're treating you even now. I don't think you'll forget. I don't think that's written here anywhere. As a matter of fact, it seems to me, according to Scripture, that the devil would never let you forget. He doesn't want you to forget. It's the one thing he wants to use to keep you miserable. Remember when so-and-so did this to you? See, the devil, he'll bring it back. When things are going great, you're reading your Bible and you're loving the Lord and things are good. And he'll go, oh yeah, but remember 5 years ago? That's not God bringing that up. God said your sins are forgotten. That's the devil. You need to forgive people. If it's a really gross sin, you need to forgive them a million times a day. As many times as it comes up, you need to say, I have forgiven them for that. Over and over until it's gone. And if it takes 40 years, well, you got nothing but time. What else are you doing this week? Forgive. That's what we're called to do. Where the rubber meets the road is, will we or not? Jesus says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And then the fifth request is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What does he mean? He is telling us that we need to recognize how weak we are. We are prone to wander. Sinners, say beggars, we're prone to wander. So, you see, we realize that we are weak and easily drawn into sin. So we are actually asking the Father to deliver us from or to keep us out of situations that will cause us to sin. Lord, I am weak. Please don't even allow me to go into that situation because I'm too weak. I'm prone to that kind of thing. So it's a prayer request that we've got. Interesting. The five petitions that are here, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Keep us out of and away from the evil. Interesting, huh? When they said, teach us to pray. And now he's going to give us a parable on persistence. To persist. You know, stubbornness is a sin. The Bible makes that clear throughout Scripture. For me to be stubborn would be a sin. For you to be stubborn is a sin. But determination is something that I think you and I have got to pray for and ask the Lord to give to us. There's a difference between stubbornness and determination. Stubbornness is a sin. Determination is necessary to get through this Christian life. So he says this, which of you, verse 5, shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, can I borrow 3 loaves of bread? For a friend of mine has come in his journey to me, unexpectedly, the language says, and I have nothing to set before him. I don't have anything to give him. I'm surprised that he's here. I know it's midnight, and I'm sorry it's so late, but you got to open up, man. I need some bread just to give something to this guy. And he, verse 7, from within, shall answer and say, trouble me not. Go away. The door is shut. My children are in bed with me. I can't get up and give you food. What he's saying is this. Go away. Quit knocking. It's midnight, man. The kids are in bed. Me and my wife are in bed. It's too cold to get up. Could you just go away, man? Come back tomorrow or something. No. Leave us alone. And verse 8 says, I say to you, Jesus says, though he will not rise and give him because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. You got to help me, man, because I just need 3 loaves of bread. Please, come on, get up. Go away, man. Everybody's in bed. It's too late. Just come back tomorrow. No, I really, please, come on, do me this once. And you can imagine the guy inside going to his wife. We got to give him something. Let's give him the kitchen. We're not going to get any sleep unless we give this guy something. So let's just do this and get it over with. He's not going to get up because he's a friend. He's going to get up because he says, I'm not going to get any sleep tonight until I give him something. Is Jesus saying that's the way God is? No, he's showing you the way people are. See, that's the way people are. But God, on the other hand, wants you to come to him as his father, or as your father. He wants you to come and to keep knocking. That's what he says. He says, I say to you, verse 9, ask, in the language, the tense is, continue to ask. Don't stop asking. Ask, don't stop asking, and it shall be given. Seek, don't stop seeking, and you shall find. Knock, don't stop knocking, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, and he that knocks, it shall be opened. There are promises for you. God's teaching us how to pray. Keep on going with it. If a guy that's a sinner gets up and gives you the things you're asking for, how much more is a holy God who loves you and wants to give you things? How much more is he going to do for you? Now think about your last few prayers. Well, Lord, bless Uncle Martha, and if we could have shoes, that'd be nice, and thanks for lunch, and you know, my foot hurts, and oh yeah, and I need a raise. You know, it's like we don't really care. That's not the attitude of the guy knocking on the door trying to get some bread. Look, I got visitors, man. I'm sorry. It's midnight. I didn't know they were coming. I need some help here. Come on. Get away, man. I'll see you tomorrow. No, dude, come on. I know you got bread in there. All right, we're giving him bread or we're not going to get any. It's late. How are your prayers going? Well, Lord, so-and-so says he's got the flu. Can you heal him? Oh, my finger hurts too. Sounds like you really care, doesn't it? Sounds like you're really into this prayer. You ever really want something? Has there ever been a time in your life when you yourself wanted something? Not that you needed it. Not that it was something that was life-shattering or earth-shattering, but you wanted it. When I was young, I saw this guitar in the window. And I had never played guitar before, but it was electric and had the pickups inside. It had this little red glittery stuff I wouldn't even show in public anymore. But back then it was cool. And I thought, man, you get under the bright lights, it's going to glow. It's going to be nice and bright. I went running home and I told my mom, I got to have this guitar. I have to. You don't even play. I don't care. It's going to look great. I'll learn to play. I got to have this. And she goes, we can't afford lessons. You don't know anything about music. Mom, I got to have this. Why? I don't know. I'm going to be a star. I got to have it. How much is it? $60. That's like saying today's $600. They didn't have it. She said, we don't have the money. Oh, Mom, we can get it. Just open your purse. I got to have this. I'm not asking for anything else. The rest of my life, I'll do anything you want. I do the dishes anyway. I'll do it. I don't care. Just I got to have it. We can't afford it. Oh, come on. Whatever it's going to take, I got to have this. You see, this is going to be beautiful on stage. You ask your dad. Oh, I don't want to go through this, Mom. Let's get both of you in the same room. We're not going to play this game. I want it from both of you to tell me, no, we're not going to play. No, I need to get this. And my parents, I remember them saying, we have never seen you like this. We have never seen you. I got to have it. Something inside of me said, I got to have it. Please, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do it. I just got to have this. Somehow they got that for me. Every time I go home, I still have to do the dishes. I'm paying for it still. And that was almost 40 years ago. You ever prayed that way? Have you ever in your life prayed that way? I'm going to tell you right now, you really get deathly sick, and you'll be amazed at how your prayers change. Lord, you got to do something. You have to do something. Please. And you got to do it pretty quick. I don't really feel very good. Or do you pray, well, my head hurts. I think I'm dying. Oh, well, Lord, whatever. I don't think so. You got to listen to me. He just promised you something. He just promised you as a Christian. I read it to you. I say to you, asking shall be given you, seeking you shall find, knocking it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Promise to every Christian that every prayer you pray will be answered. There's the promise. There is no such thing as unanswered prayer. There it is. He answers my prayers. He answers yours. He has never left any of them unanswered. He ever said no to you? He has to me. Paul, praying, he said, in my flesh, Greek word sarx, sarx, it means your physical, literal, fleshly body, not your emotions, not your mind, but the literal flesh. Paul said, I was given a thorn in my flesh. Something physically was painful and hurting. I was given a thorn in my flesh, and I begged God to take it away from me because it hurt. Please, Lord, heal this. Take it away. I prayed three times, and what did God say? No. My grace is sufficient for you. And Paul says, fine, then I'll take joy in it from now on. I'll be happy to be sick and happy to be in pain. Remember? That's what he said. Has God ever said no to you? He might have. Your little one comes to you. He's 4 years old or 5 years old. Dad, can I have a shotgun? That would worry you if he goes to public schools, I know. Or if he's thinking about, now I'd be going, whoa. What would you say to your little one? No. Or maybe you might say this. Sure you can. When you're old enough. Well, how old is old enough? I remember asking my parents that one. Well, how old is old enough? And my dad said, we don't know. Well, how will you know when I'm old enough? We'll know when you're old enough and we'll tell you. And I go, and I remember going, yeah, and I'll have to share it with my brother because we can't afford two of them, whatever it is. Boy, life's been hard. Has God ever said to you, wait? Has he ever said that? He said that to me a few times. He's told me no. He has told me to wait. Has he ever said that to you? And there are times when he has said, yeah. That always shocks me. I am stunned. I shouldn't be, but I go, Lord, would you do this? And he does, and I go, he did it. Well, I know. He said he would. I know, but I asked for it, and he did it anyway. You know, because we are convinced. You may not think this, but you are convinced God doesn't love you. I know you are. A lot of Christians, you'll listen to the way they talk. Would you pray for me? Sure. Because I'm not feeling well, and I know if I say something, God will just strike me dead. Yeah, he hates you. You're the only one on the entire planet of all the billions that have ever been. He doesn't like you. No, he loves you. But I know that we do feel that way. You know why we feel that way? You know why some of you feel that way? Because in your heart, you know you deserve to suffer. You know that you have sinned and come short of God's glory, and you know what you should be getting. But you're not getting it. By grace, you've come to Jesus Christ, and you're getting grace and mercy, and he's pouring out love, and he's pouring out these things on you, and you just know you don't deserve it, and sooner or later, he's going to remember you don't, and he's going to cut it all off. Huh. But that's not the God you serve. He loves you. And I know that there are times when our lives are difficult. He loves you. He hasn't forgotten. Your prayers have not gone unanswered, and they never will. He says, everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. To him that knocks, it shall be opened. And then he asks this question. He says, come on, guys, just think logically. You remember when God says, at the beginning there of Isaiah, when God says, come and let us reason together. God says, I'm willing to sit down and talk to you. Let's just logicalize it out together. Let's just reason. Let's just talk and think about these things. Well, that's what Jesus is saying here. Let's reason together. Jesus says, is there a man among you who would offer his son a stone if he asked for bread? Or a snake if he asked for fish? Or give him a scorpion instead of an egg? Can you imagine somebody doing that? Your little one comes up and says, your little girl comes up and says, Dad, I'm hungry. Here's a rock, stupid, chew on that. I mean, doesn't that sound bad? I guess parents do that nowadays. But Jesus was saying, is there a man among you who would offer his son or his little one a stone if he asked for it? A snake if he asked for fish? Man, I'm really hungry, Mom. What's for dinner? Here's a snake, idiot. Play with that. And you think, man. Or, you know, Mom, could we have an egg? Here's a scorpion. He says, is there a man among you that would do that? Well, the answer in a most logical sense would be, well, no. I mean, if my little one came and said that he wanted some bread, you might even put butter on it and even some jelly or something. Or you might even toast it. I mean, you wouldn't just hand him a rock and say, figure it out. Why? Because you want to be, you love them. And Jesus says, if you then, being sinners, know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more would a holy and a sinless God, your heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Notice God gives heavenly gifts and earthly gifts. He takes care of us. And if you know that your little one came to you and said, I'm really hungry, Mom or Dad, you'd do what you could. Maybe you don't have much, but you'd give them what you could. And you and me, we're sinners. Imagine what a holy, loving father would do who is perfect and owns everything. You know, he's a rancher. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible says. Don't you think he wants to give you what's good? I know what's confusing many people is their lives are difficult. Things have happened to them they never dreamed were going to happen. Their lives are, and so they're thinking maybe he doesn't care. Maybe, no, that's got nothing to do with it. You see, he's working differently in everyone's life for his glory and for your strengthening. He's got a plan that what we're going through now, this is going to count for eternity. Well, all we see it for is here. Yeah, but now I can't get around so well. Or this is happening and I don't understand. And we're only looking at the right here and the right now. If you'd like to try an experiment, put your hand in front. I got a big hand. Put your hand in front of your face and tell me what you see. Hold it up there. What you see is maybe a little bit of light between fingers, but mostly it's just a mess and it's in the way. Notice? But as it gets further away, you're just going, oh, that's just a hand. No big deal. When it's far, far away, it's nothing. You're right in the middle of it now. And so you can't see much around. And you think, oh, what a mess. That's all right, man. Eternity is coming any second now. And you're going to see, it's no big deal. This light affliction is but for a moment. Your Heavenly Father wants to give you. The Bible teaches clearly. And here, this is about prayer. The Bible teaches clearly that the blessings of God never stop flowing. Isn't that cool? They never stop. What we do is we move ourselves into positions where we can't receive the blessings. But they never quit. It's just many times we catch ourselves in unbelief. We're asking like we really don't want it. I used to use this little scenario of the kids wanting to go to the Dairy Queen. I love going to the Dairy Queen. So when you hear the kids in the kitchen, they're whispering. Let's ask Dad to take us to Dairy Queen. I'm going, oh, right, man. Because the kids come and ask, and I'll have to tell my wife, no, the kids wanted to go. So I can't wait for them to come. But then they're in there discussing their strategy. I want to take them. I'm excited about it. I'm going to wait and see what happens. And they're in there discussing. Go ask him. No, man, I got a bad grade on my report card. You ask him. No, I forgot to take the trash out. You ask him. No way, I'm not going to ask him. I know. You ask him. You're the little one. He'll give you anything. I'm not going to. I'm scared. Nobody asks. And I don't get to go to Dairy Queen. That's exactly how we are with God. God's wanting to bless you. But he wants you to come to him as your father. And you're going, well, he won't listen to me. I got in trouble at school last week. I mean, he's not going to listen to me. Well, you ask. I don't think he'll listen to me, man. The language I've been using lately, I don't know where it's coming from, but I don't even think he's going to listen. And God is going, somebody ask me. Ask me. I'm wanting to pour out blessings. Somebody ask. Could he do it anyway? Yes. And remember, blessings continue. It's just he wants us to cry out to him as father. That's why he lets it get so hot. That's why he turns the oven up so far. Sooner or later, you and I are going to go, oh, God, what are you doing? And he's going, man, I thought you'd never ask. I've been wanting you to. So he allows things in our lives. It's true. Teach us to pray. And Jesus teaches us. And Scripture shows us. Pray in faith. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and don't stop seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. He is good. He loves you. You'll receive, you'll find, and the doors will be opened. That's his promise. Let's bow our heads.